Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Investor Conference Call hosted by Truworth Bioenergy Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Kumar Murugesh Nirani, Managing Director of Truworth Bioenergy Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Nirani.
A very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow owners of Truworth Bioenergy. This is the first-ever investor conference call organized by the company. I welcome you all to the call. I will take this opportunity to share the updates of the company and also use this time with you to get your perspective on any necessary course corrections that the company would require. I will now begin by sharing with you the message on the quarter performance. This quarter results may appear muted. They reflect deliberate choice or to reshape our business model for long-term growth and all-year resilience. We have been re-engineering Truworth Bioenergy's operating DNA, moving from a seasonal business to a near-continuous operation. The integration of 1,300 KLPD of dual-feed capacity out of 2,000 KLPD makes a fundamental operating shift. This structural change breaks away from the sugar cycle-bound rhythm of ethanol manufacturing and creates a model built on year-round production, multi-feed flexibility, and sustained continuity. The subdued financial results in Q1 and Q2 are a deliberate and necessary cost of transformation. They reflect the outcome of our planned safety-led commissioning pauses that strengthen rather than strain Truworth Bioenergy's core fundamentals. This temporary moderation marks the final phase of recalibration before Truworth shifts into steady utilization, consistent revenues, and stronger margins. In a sector traditionally driven by seasonal peaks, we have chosen to redefine the norm by targeting sustained uptime and rated capacity across all four quarters. We have also fortified our foundation with secure feedstock linkages, thanks to the IPO, a robust working capital, and strategic foresight that position us to capture the upside as operations stabilize. The integration of DDGS, distillers, dried grains with solubles, opens a strong new revenue stream and positions Truworth as a key player in high-protein animal feed, deepening our circular bioeconomy approach where every output is optimized. In the compressed biogas vertical, construction has begun on three plants under our partnership with Sumitomo Corporation and Oceana. The projects are progressing as planned and are expected to be operational by end of Q2 FY27, marking an important milestone in this intentional international collaboration and our commitment to building India's CBG infrastructure. I would also like to update to you that we had the senior-most delegation from Sumitomo Corporation that visited us in our corporate office and visited us and inspected the factory sites, the construction sites yesterday. The group CEO of Sumitomo Corporation, along with the delegation of 9 members, spent two days of their time with us and expressed their satisfaction on the progress of the 3 of the 4 plants that we have signed with them. The JV with Sumitomo also speaks about the potential exploration in the sustainable aviation fuels investment that the company Truworth Bioenergy carries. They show very strong interest to partner in the days to come, and the working group has been formed to study the same. Pursuant to the share subscription cum shareholders agreement with GAIL in the month of August for the planned multi-project rollout of CBG plants again, which is the company's second joint venture in the business of compressed biogas. The company and the JV, along with GAIL and Truworth, have approved 7 project locations which are located between Karnataka and Maharashtra. The CBG business is set to be one of our growth drivers in the days to come. And when our CFO, Mr. Anand Kishore, covers the business of CBG, we see a tremendous growth in the CBG business, and we foresee a fantastic opportunity in the CBG for the days to come. In our retail fuel network, 7 outlets are operational and 6 more are ready to commence shortly, taking the network to 13 dispensing stations across Karnataka in phase 1 of our 100 location rollout. This expansion strengthens our downstream integration and builds a direct consumer interface that enhances market presence, brand visibility and value capture. I would also like to update to all you fellow owners that TrueAlt is probably one of the fastest companies out of the traditional 4 private oil marketing companies and the 4 public sector undertaking oil marketing companies that have had this fast of a rollout of your retail network. In the sustainable aviation fuel vertical, TrueAlt is entering into an MOU with Andhra Pradesh government for an investment of up to 2,250 crores for an ethanol to SAF plant. This positions TrueAlt among the largest global producers of ethanol-derived SAF. We are also entering into an MOU with the Government of India undertaking, a large public sector undertaking in the oil and gas space. Our board has recently given the consent to enter into an MOU for a potential joint venture to establish the same sustainable aviation fuel plant in the state of Andhra Pradesh, with the objective of commissioning and operating the facility over a period of within the next 2 years. Under a JV agreement with Sumitomo Corporation, as I mentioned, both companies are currently examining and exploring the potential of SAF synergies between TrueAlt and Sumitomo as well. Despite being a relatively young company, TrueAlt Bioenergy has scaled rapidly and purposefully to become one of India's largest biofuel producers and the largest ethanol producers by installed capacity. Building on the depth of capability, we now aim to replicate the success in CBG and SAF expansion, expanding our leadership across the clean energy value chain and reinforcing our role in India's low-carbon, self-reliant future. We anticipate a sustained growth trajectory aligned with past performance trends. Our diversified portfolio across ethanol, CBG, retail fuel, and the upcoming SAF verticals provides a strong base for resilient multi-verticular growth and consistent value creation for all stakeholders. I would now like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Anand Kishore, to take you through the financial performance.
Good afternoon, all. I will be taking here from the financials of the company. So post, our MD has already introduced you about the planning of the company, the background of the company, and about the future plans which we have recently commenced and which is under process. So now to give the brief financials of the company, I will start with the consolidated financials for H1, that is my 6 months number on consolidation basis. The company had a revenue from operation from 600, company had a revenue from operation for 585 crore, which has been declined to 418 crore. However, the total income has again dropped by only 26%. So as our MD recently told, and I am just emphasizing this, that this decline of 26% in YOY was mainly due to the plant shutdown in Q2 for a multi-green trade indication purpose. So this was a strategic purpose. The company has to take a call for shutdown of the plants, which has impacted the top line of the company. But even though, if you see going further, even though my top line has been declined, but my bottom line has, in spite of that, my EBITDA margin and EBITDA has improved. So next is the company has incurred employee benefit expenses of 17 crore, which is increased to 21 crore because of the expansion of the plant taken up and in hiring at the corporate office level. The finance cost of the company was 68 crore in FY25 H1 numbers, which has gone to 76.39 crore. This was mainly on account of the reason that we have converted the multi-feeder plant, which is already commenced now. And the same impact has gone on to the interest cost expenses for the loan borrowed by the company from the IREDA. The company has again the proportionate effect made on the depreciation, which on 6 month H1 was 31 crore and has gone to 41 crore. As we have introduced our new plant and machinery and installed, there has been an impact on the depreciation as well. However, the focus why we have improved the EBITDA is, we must know, the other expenses of the company, which was close to 69.30 crore, has drastically come down by 31% to 47.95 crore. Now, this being the reason is I have controlled on my power expenses. Previously, we were going on the thermal coal-based power and we were utilizing it for the production purpose, which has come down by 11 crore almost because we have converted ourselves to the bagasse-based power production system, wherein we have not only saved 11 crore through bagasse-based, we were also incurring the cost on the transportation of these coals, which has again in turn saved us 7 to 8 crore on that. So this close to 19 to 20 crore saving has been other expenses has given the edge to the company to improve their EBITDA margin, even though my top line has declined by 26%. So this being the focus, though the company has absorbed their total fixed cost very well, the company has even the PAT margin of the company, which was with the company as against this H1 FY25, wherein they have booked the losses of 40 crore. Now itself we have only booked the loss of 33.27 crore to consequent to our previous H1 numbers. The reason being I told you because we have controlled the expenses, and had this strategic call you not taken for the shutdown of the plants, you could have imagined what would have been my numbers speaking. So again, I will call my PAT margin was again at -7.29%, which I will not much focus because I have given the so. Other than this, my EBITDA margin has been a drastic improvement in this also because the contribution from my CBG segment. My CBG segment, if number, if you will, if just like to know, my revenue from, which is our, again, a focus area because our MD was already telling that we have Sumitomo was there with us and then we have a JV with again. So in terms of a CBG, my 30 September 24, my top line of CBG was 643 crore, which has come to 1,051 crore. So my CBG has gone by more than
70 lakhs.
I will cite the figure. So it was 6.43 crore, which has gone to 10.51 crore. So my CBG number has gone up by more than 70%. This has not only improved my top line, but my company's fixed cost absorption has been also there. The company has had the best of its capacity utilization ever, and with which my expenses are also well controlled. This, if I can say, the EBITDA margin, if you want to know the CBG of business, EBITDA margin is almost close to 70% in terms of a 69.28% for my CBG, which was in terms of a number, which was hardly in 30 September 24th figure, if you will see, it was 82 lakhs rupees, which has come up to 7.25 crore. So my CBG itself has grown by my CBG itself has gone by more than 70%. So in terms of EBITDA and internally, my PAT has also grown. My PAT margin, which was hardly in 30 September 24, my PAT was in terms of CBG was negative, which has come up to the not only positive, but my PAT, which we have booked for this CBG business, was somewhere around 5 crore only during the first 6 months. So this internally has given the improvement of the company on the overall basis, not only in terms of my CBG business, but the company as a whole going forward in my H2 numbers will be worth to see with, because with the multi-feed operations and ethanol volume normalizing, H2 FY26 number is expected to see a strong recovery in terms of my revenue and profitability. I will just go through my CBG number, other portions. So if my cost of my employee benefit expenses again in my CBG has been my PBT number in my CBG business has gone from 1.60 crore, which was earlier, which has now come to 12.23 crore. My PBT percentage was 12.75%, which in H1 of FY25, that in H1 of FY26, the same is 59.05%. My PAT, which was 1.28 crore, has improved to 10.13 crore in terms of a CBG business. So this is the focus area we want to see, because overall on the console basis, we are going to establish 17 such more plants in the future. So one plant is giving me this much benefit. The comparison of 17 plants will be going forward will on the console basis will improve my numbers like anything. Now I would like to present the my quarter numbers for the Q2 on the console basis. My quarter numbers from the top line, the revenue from operation was 404 crore, which has come down to 129 crore. This again, the reason we have already discussed that decline, this was major decline due to the plant strategic shutdown. And then again, the company has expenses and finance cost, depreciation and other expenses are in the same line what we have discussed in the overall my console number of H1. So these numbers, employee benefit expenses have again gone up marginally by 11% compared to last quarter. My finance cost has gone up by 13%, that is 34 crore to 38 crore. And my depreciation has again been booked by 16 crore to 20 crore, it has gone up. And my other expenses has come down by 53%, which was what the focus I was telling, where we have gained the benefit and where we have rationalized the number. That so other expenses have come down by 53%, that is 34.98 crore to 16.5 crore against again my previous quarter number. So there are overall we have seen that my previous quarter wherein we have booked the loss of 18.66 crore, so that has gone double up to 37 crore. Is again the reason we have already explained, and the EBITDA, which was positive by 17.26 crore, has been got in the negative quarter marginally only by 5 crore, that is 4.55 crore. So with this, because now all of these, the plants which were shut down is already operational from the Q2. Second number, we have already completed the COD. All these plants are commenced. With the commencement of these plants, the production is at the full capacity. Company is running right, you may at the maximum capacity utilization is what the company has the opportunity. There is ample availability of full feedstock, the raw material. So company without facing any difficulty is looking for a bright H2 figures and with a strong recovery in the revenue and profitability.
That's a quick update on the key financials of the quarter-on-quarter comparison for standalone and console, and a quick update on the how we had taken a shutdown on the first vertical, that is CV, in the ethanol, and also very strong performance in the CBG business. So we have been operating the CBG plant at around 80-odd% capacity utilization and recorded a margin of close to 50-plus%. That said, I would also ask our CFO to take you through the balance sheet items on a quick bit.
Yes.
And we could then move on to the question and answer.
Yes. So quickly, I will introduce on the balance sheet number of the company. So I'm consolidating on the 6 months balance sheet which for the H1, which company has presented on the console basis, recently published also. So balance sheet on overall basis, if I will see, the company has the total balance sheet size of 3,377 crore, the breakup of which comes from the my company equity and other equity. The point of discussion here is my IPO money infusion has already come into the system. The impact has been given on the balance sheet by the our statutory auditors. And the company equity, 30 September, it was 70.63 crore. The equity share capital has gone to 85.75 crore. This was majorly account of the core equity, increase in the core equity was on account of the share capital of the face value of rupees 10 per share, which is factored in the core capital of the company. Then the other equity, the equity was 511 crore in this compared to my 30 September 24. which has gone by 1,315 crore. So this was a major on account of anchor round of investors, the money coming up, and then there was a QIP, retail, all those, the subscription has given the impact. So the total equity of the company, which was 582 crore, has gone up to 1,401 crore, giving the impact on the total equity of the company as well as the net worth of the company. The liability size of the company, other heads are the financial liabilities. The company has the financial liability borrowings of 5.78 crore, 578 crore last year, which has come down to 456 crore. So these borrowings was basically on the ground. The company has availed the loans from the banks also, and the provision of the has been a marginal provision has been increased. 2.90 crore was the provisioning figure on 30 September 2024, which is 3.88 crore. The company other non-current liability, which is figure to see, was 7.77 crore, which has again in the same line to 7.42 crore, and the company has overall the non-current liability side 1,082 crore is the balance sheet size. Against which 30 September 25, it was 1159 crore. So the figure here to see is the company has only portion of the equity portion has been an improvement in the company, which has improved the company's debt equity ratio, the company UL by TNW, and the other ratios of the company. The current liabilities of the company was short-term borrowing, which was 449 crore, which has increased to 30 September 25, 464 crore. This on account of being a small borrowing of rupees 50 crore of the working capital available from the Kotak Mahindra Bank, which was not present on the 30 September 24. Over and above, my trade payables of the company, which was outstanding of the creditors, was 255 crore on 30 September 24, which has gone to 30 September 25 to 683 crore. So these trade payables are the payment against the raw material which company has to make is standing in the balance sheet. The other current liabilities of the company is 1.95 crore, which was last year, has gone to 78.65 crore. So this other non-current liability is basically nothing but the amount of the provisioning which company has made for the IPO subscription. So this is an increase drastic from 1.95 crore to 78 crore. And the current liabilities of the company was other current liabilities, nothing which was standing in the company in the last year, which is again standing at the 126.09 as a net off. So my total liability side of the balance sheet is, if I want to give a breakup of my liability size, you can see again if anything is missed out, then the provisioning is again of 3.78 crore on account of the gratuity made by the company of 2.07 crore, and the leave came cashment of 1.70 crore. The deferred tax liability, which I was talking about, 65 crore was on account of unabsorbed losses and on account of a depreciation booked by the company. The current liabilities, other financial liabilities of 176.33 crore, which you see is outstanding in the balance sheet. Of this 176 crore, 149 crore is payable against the capital group vendors, because we have recently purchased the plants and equipments, and because on this account we have to make the we have to keep it the amount outstanding on the against the capital vendor suppliers. And the other current liabilities of 78.64 crore is on account of IPO provisioning expenses. Now coming down to the balance sheet, asset side of the balance sheet. The asset size of my non-current assets is standing at, which was 1,253 crore, has gone up to 1,648 crore in the property, plant and equipment. This on account of additional asset introduced by the company was a multi-feeder plant at the three of its location. Then the company has the goodwill and other intangible asset is of the same figure what the company has written earlier. The company has made the added other financial assets of 1.88 crore, which was earlier, which has come down, which has up by 22.35 crore. There's a minor impact in the other financial asset. The company's inventory has, if you see, has come down because the plant was shut down and the raw material was not utilized. So there has been hardly any inventory in the books compared to the size of the balance sheet. The loans, trade receivables of the company again is on the same line. The IPO application money lot receivable is the important figure to see, because on the 30 September, the allotment was done. However, as a procedural effect, the auditors has taken into the factor these receivables other than the anchor money. Whatever anchor money has been there, that has been booked in the cash and bank balance. And whatever other money is there after anchor round has been booked into the IPO application allotment receivables. There is a government grant of 107 crore standing in on 30 September 25, which on account of a last 2 year PLI and interest subvention to be received from the NABARD. Then net of if I see my total asset is again standing at 3377 crore. With this, I will like to conclude on the financial numbers of the company, and I will hand over the forum to our MD sir, Mr. Vijay Nigam.
I think we can now move on to the question and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rishabh Gang with Sancheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Wanted to understand, with the dual feed capacity, how do we see the ethanol volumes ramp up in the non-sugarcane season, as well as how do we see the ethanol procurement by the OMCs rising up to ensure the increased volume CN offtake?
Thank you so much, Rishabhji, on the question. The first aspect is on how we see capacity utilization during non-sugar crushing season. And the second question you asked is on the allocation strategy, how we see the OMC's allocation.
Yes, sir.
So on the ramp up of the capacity, when we have dual feed integration, we are not dependent on one kind of feedstock. Our opportunity opens up onto five different kinds of feedstock, namely syrup, molasses, rice, maize, and damaged food grain. So you typically, your sugar season operates between October to March, somewhere between that. Let's say this year we are beginning operation between November 10th to hopefully mid of March. We will have enough sugar syrup and we'll have a lot of backup on molasses available during this period. And this can allow us to operate somewhere between Q1 of until the next quarter one of next financial year. Q2, half of the Q1 and half of the Q2 of next financial year, we can then shift our focus to grains. Thanks to the working capital we have, we can procure grains at a much attractive price and provision a good potential to increase our bottom line. So we can shift our focus to either molasses or different kinds of grains that we just spoke of. That gives us the potential to operate the plant on a four-quarter basis. That is the expectation that we carry. Now, on the allocation of ethanol, this year we have seen a major shocker to the entire sector. The oil marketing companies, for some reason, have taken a decision to allocate in a very questionable way manner. Most of the plants in the north of India have gotten a little higher allocation as compared to the plants in the southern part of India. Now, Karnataka being one of the lowest allottees of ethanol volumes, a few of the plants in Karnataka could see a potential dip in the operations of ethanol. When we speak of TrueAlt, for us, the situation is similar, but we are making the best of what we have currently. We have gotten an allocation that can give us a potential, not just considering the oil marketing company's allocation, and also considering the potential to make extra neutral alcohol and the private sector OMCs, we can potentially target to produce close to 48 crore liters for the ethanol supply year, November to October of 25-26. So this gives us enough room to have the volumes that we foresee to give a good growth rate.
So this 48 crore versus what of the previous year?
The previous year, we had about 41 crore liters of allocation, of which we had an intentional shutdown wherein about 14 odd crore liters of ethanol is pending to be supplied, which we are in discussion to get an extension to be supplied for this year. So I'm not giving this that the extension will happen easily. It is something that is being considered by the all marketing companies and the government agencies. If that comes through, 47 crores plus 15 could become the number that we will have for the next ethanol supply year.
Which is very encouraging. Like, that would be a good incremental revenue.
So I will just highlight to you, Rishabh ji, that the incremental 15 is still work in progress. We are hopeful, but 47 is a done deal.
All right. Sir, on the DDGS, like, how does the, you know, maybe the unit economics are like for 1 liter of ethanol, what kind of DDGS is generated and how does it impact our bottom line, if you can give some idea on that?
The DDGS front, when we start utilizing the multi-feeder, we are the DDGS income will constitute around 17% of the 17.97% of the total income is expected to come from the DDGS as a byproduct income.
Okay. And so there is no additional cost?
There will be no additional cost because it will remain as a byproduct. So what benefit will gain from is this, out of suppose 100 rupees sale must come, 18 rupees or 17.97 will become from by way of a DDGS. Based on the fixed rate sale by the government.
Okay. My next question was on the export opportunity. Like, what kind of export opportunity do we see for ethanol? Like, because, you know, the offtake has a limit, right? So, what do you think about that?
Currently, there is a push to start exports of ethanol that the government is pushing the sector. But we don't see a potential to export ethanol because of the differential pricing structure. The domestic price of ethanol is comparatively high, relatively higher than the export prices. Because if ethanol coming from Brazil and the American ethanol also is relatively cheaper than what it is in India, purely for the reason that India supports the farmers' price of sugarcane as well as rice and maize, which is why there is a price of ethanol that is derived by government. So exporting could still be a far-off opportunity that I personally see.
All right. Wanted to understand more on the sustainable aviation fuel. We have spoken a bit about the export opportunity. So, is there an export opportunity there, maybe, you know, few years down the line?
Absolutely. So, in fact, the government of India's mandate to start blending of SAF by 1% in 27 and up to 5% by 2030 is mostly for all the international flights flying in and out of India. Now, there are also talks happening for book and claim methods where India could consume the fuel and the claim on the benefit of carbon could be claimed by someone else overseas. So either we export the molecules itself or we consume the molecule in-house and pass the benefit on the carbon intensity to any overseas buyers. It's very interesting development that we are foreseeing. So the export opportunity in SAF is much, much higher. India has the potential to become a net exporter of processed SAF because we have access to a lot of agri inputs.
Okay. And globally, sir, which are the countries, you know, where the blending rate for SAF is very high? Let's say,
currently, the blending rate is high in a few countries in the European Union. It is almost at 2% starting 2027. There are a few countries and a few airlines or companies that have taken a voluntary blending of SAF. Companies like Cathay Pacific, companies like United Airlines, companies like even an extent of Singapore Airlines have sort of taken a voluntary target. Now, if you were to see, Singapore has taken a target of up to 5% by 2028. And recently, there have been news reports also around that. And India, again, however, has taken a target of 1% by next calendar year, 2027. And up to 2% by 2028. And all in all, CORSIA is the body that declares the mandate. So CORSIA's mandate gives a mandatory blending of SAF by 2027. So most of the developed countries and the developing countries will need to adhere to the CORSIA mandate.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Raman KV with Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Yeah, sir, I just want to understand the partner. Can you elaborate more on the partnership with Sumitomo with respect to CBG? And what are the byproducts or value-added products which you plan to manufacture apart, manufacture and sell apart from the CBG?
Thank you so much, Raman. You want to know about Sumitomo's partnership and byproducts and additional products that we could do in the JV?
Yes, yes. Like, what does Sumitomo bring in the JV?
The brief description on the Sumitomo JV is TruAlt will hold 51% of the JV, and 49% of the JV will be owned by Sumitomo Corporation. The JV has a phase one investments of to set up four CBG plants of 20 tons each, at a cost of about 85 crores each plant. So that's almost about 360-odd crores in total CapEx. And in the phase two, the JV also intends to explore an additional 12 plants in addition to the four. So total of the CBG plants will be 16 that is signed with Sumitomo Corporation. Phase one is four, phase two will be an additional of 12 plants. Incremental to that, we also have an exploratory arrangement to venture into SAF business, the plants that TruAlt carries to set up one of the country's largest SAF plant. Sumitomo also has interest in exploring the potential to tie up there. There is a working group constituted, and the working group is working on the modalities and the final investment decisions on the SAF bit. That said, Sumitomo also explores the potential to partner on the further growth of 1G ethanol in the country. So there is a demand of 1G ethanol, probably in Japan, which I'm not very sure this is what the discussion is being done. There is a potential possibility of 10% of ethanol blending in Japan, in their petroleum. So that is a potential for which they are looking for more ethanol that could be exported from here. So that is another opportunity that in the 1G ethanol space, they're looking to be a partner. That said, they're also exploring potentials in the second generation ethanol to be set up, and also advanced biofuels. So these are some things that they are keen. There is a bilateral engagement between India and Japan called a joint credit monitoring mechanism, where the carbon emissions or carbon credits that India could potentially generate, some of it could be purchased, and Japanese companies and the Japanese government or the country could benefit out of. So that's a kind of JCM that is happening, which is going to support this engagement. That said, the byproducts that are set to come out of the CBG business is one, something called as a fermented organic manure and liquid fermented organic manure, solid and liquid fertilizers. And the third part is called potash derived from molasses, PDM. It is one of the most richest agricultural inputs of fertilizer called potash, which both these fertilizers that is developed by this JV or this sector, will help reduce the import of urea and DAP, and help deliver organic fertilizers to the farmers at an affordable price. This is another good benefit that we are doing through this JV.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Arnab Bhattacharjee, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vijay sir. I hope you are doing good. I just wanted to know. Yeah, I just wanted to know whether, you know, in all the developments that we are currently doing with regard to, like, there's so many upcoming things, CBG, 2G ethanol, and SAF, SAF molecules. Do we own any process patents in the design and development that are upcoming? And, how do you see the research and development? Like, do we wish to position ourselves as just a manufacturing unit, or do we wish to venture into technology, the technology part of it as well? If you can give your overview and your thought process on this.
Thank you,
Thank you so much for that, sir. Although it's very exciting to have patents and set up venture more into technology. Just to start your question, you asked on the verticals that we are doing. All of these are new age. All of these are very interesting. And whether we have patents on it and whether we wish to get into the patent. Quick answer would be, we definitely would look forward to developing a few technologies. But that said, I would again say that that is not our core business. That would not be our core strength. We are and we will remain to be a manufacturing company. And why I say that is because of the sustained business opportunity that a manufacturing company could get. Once we have the plant set up, we can always have a potential to scale up the plants by setting up multiple more and have opportunity to keep getting a sustained revenue, sustained operations. That said, we have a MOU and investments with Indian Institute of Science to study and explore more on green hydrogen. So it's a very small investment that we have in MOU in the initiative of Indian Institute of Science, which is very close to our corporate office in Bangalore. There is something called as the Bharat Mission, BHARAT. It's called Biomass to Hydrogen and a very fancy title along that. There is something that we are trying to explore on bringing down the costs of green hydrogen and improving green hydrogen. That said, CBG or sustainable aviation fuel, we don't foresee to have any patents or we don't foresee to have any technology advantage over others. Of course, we will have a lot of upgradation in the technology and the processes in the days to come.
This is actually a cheaper, it is able to produce a cheaper version of green hydrogen. Is this the one that you're talking?
That is right. Just a quick background on that. Currently, a lot of hydrogen, when we speak of green hydrogen to be specific, a lot of push is given to electrolyzers, which consume a lot of power and which consumes a lot of distilled water. Now, there is another pathway to making green hydrogen through biomass, where biomass has carbon and hydrogen atoms. We scrub away all the elements other than hydrogen. Hydrogen is bottled and sold. This has a potential to have a cheaper green hydrogen and also has a potential to have, because India has a lot of biomass available, it becomes a good opportunity to convert that additional biomass into green hydrogen. So this is exactly that pathway.
Yeah. My last question would be, I just wanted to understand the difference between SAF molecules and SAF. Are these SAF molecules that you are referring to is just for the performance chemicals for... But there is more to this. This is with regard to Visolis. The one which you mentioned in RHP.
Thank you so much for highlighting that. The MOU with Visolis is to create another specialty chemical called mavrolactonic acid, or MBL. Mavrolactonic acid is a chemical that is largely used or mostly used to make isoprenes. Isoprenes are something bio rubber. Any application where rubber is, for example, your tires, or there are maybe a billion applications of rubber. Anywhere the rubber is, we can make bio-based rubber using MVL. And MVL can be made using the molasses or the spirit that we are making. So Visolis's MOU reads more to make MVL, and MVL can also be used to make a compound of SAF molecules. Our focus with the Visolis MOU will be to try and develop isoprenes in the first phase, because SAF molecules can be done using ethanol itself. Because we have a lot of ethanol within the company, ethanol can get a forward integration or a value add to its molecules and can be converted into SAF. So the discussion with Visolis is, we are taking it a little slow currently. We are currently fully concentrating on the CBG business as well as scaling up the retail fuel network, and then scaling up the SAF business. So these are quite a big opportunity that we have, and these are low-hanging fruits in the current basket of opportunities that we see.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your response. I'm done.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Number of questions from my side. Firstly, you had mentioned 41 crores was the allocation which the company had last ethanol year, out of which 14 crores is pending and, of course, disputed whether we will be able to supply it or not this year. So does that mean 27 was the actual supply to the OMCs last year?
That is correct. That's absolutely on target. So 26.8 was the actual number of supply.
Okay, so you were there among the largest. You will be probably on top five. You would be there. And this year, you were saying out of the 28 crores, the math that you have done, how much of this is targeted towards the OMCs?
So of the 26.7 odd crores of ethanol, the private OMCs took about 4 crore liters.
Okay.
And OMCs, the public sector OMCs took about 22 change crore liters.
Understood. And this year, what is the allocation we have already received from the OMCs, government OMCs?
So just to give a split on the numbers, we have got about 34 crore liters from the government OMCs, about 4 crore liters from one of the private OMCs, and 1.8 crore liters from the other private OMC. Both of them are Jio and Nayara put together.
Okay.
And we have the potential to make up to 8 crore liters of extra neutral alcohol. So that takes our total to 47 crore liters.
Okay, got it. And from the allocation that we have received, is it possible to give the route breakup? How much is grain, how much is sugar?
We can. Just allow me to have that sent to you over mail. Right now, the breakup on the
allocation breakup.
Allocation breakup. Mr. Sir, I don't have that figure in hand right now. Allow me to quickly share that to you.
Okay, no worries. Got it. The next part of the question is, though a lot of thought has been given into converting the business into a dual feed plant. And this is, I'm talking about the core of 1G ethanol business. Just wanted to get three things clear. One, all our plants are now converted to grain. Is that correct?
So we have converted 3 out of 5 units into grain and 3 of our largest units. So unit number 1 is up to 500 KLPD, 550 converted into grain.
Mm-hmm.
Unit number 2, 450 is converted into grain. And unit
mm-hmm.
number 4, up to 300 is converted into grain. So out of our total installed capacity of 2,000 kiloliters, we have 1,300 kiloliters converted to grain. That's almost about 65%.
Understood. And for this conversion, we have already installed our dryers also for the DDGS?
That is right. Yes, sir.
And in fact, are we looking at adding DDGS oil refinery
has commenced. Also, just to highlight, Nitin sir, just 3 days ago, we have started invoicing DDGS for the first time in True World's history.
What is the price you're getting, sir?
Currently, it's around 19.5 rupees because it's the first lot of DDGS. It should go up to 24, 25 rupees is the expected price we have.
19 is a good price, sir.
It is.
Congratulations on that. Yes.
Thank you.
And are we planning to add an oil refining unit?
Apologies, I didn't catch that.
Post the dryer initiation and DDGS that we have started, are we also planning to add an oil refining unit to try and extract
no.
the oil if possible from the DDGS?
No, not yet, sir.
Not
that
yet.
Could
okay.
be a future potential.
Future potential. Okay. And all the three plants that we have converted the source of power also to bagasse. 1, 2, and 4.
That is it. That is it. So, currently all our cogeneration units, all our steam is fired by bagasse and we have no coal fired boilers as on date. So that integration
understood.
Is also completed.
Understood. And,
bagasse and coal.
Understood, sir. So one thing I wanted to just ask you, this is because, pardon my lack of knowledge in this area, bagasse in North India has a different alternative uses. Southern
right.
India, what was the use in which bagasse, like before, of course, now you are taking bagasse from a parent, not parent, co, another unit and buying it and using it for steam. But what was the purpose for which this bagasse used to be used in Southern India?
So, so principally, most of the places, both North and South India, bagasse is converted into steam and then into electricity, and electricity is exported. For us, we have in one of our group companies, we have got access to close to 3 million metric tons of bagasse, because we crush close to about 1 crore metric ton of sugar cane. We have potential to export close to 8 million metric tons worth of bagasse. I mean, derived from bagasse. This is for our group company, I'm saying. Now, we are using close to 3 odd million metric tons, which is sufficient for us to fire our coal boilers. I mean, the boilers, the cogeneration boilers in ethanol plant, and give us steam, also give us a little bit of power that can be exported also. Captive consumption.
Understood. So just on the pricing front, the nominal workings for a coal unit would normally come up to the power cost would, per liter of ethanol would normally, in grain of course, would come up somewhere between 6 to 8 depending on efficiency. So your cost would be half that.
Debatably it could go up to 8 rupees also. Our cost is around 3.5 to 4.
Yeah. Yeah, so you basically that's what, because I was giving you the range for the industry. Efficient players could say 6, inefficient players could say 10. And but you were anyways the half of that because you have already shifted, and now of course building on the efficiency, because I don't think there is anybody else who is creating steam on such a large scale using bagasse.
That is correct, sir. So also to highlight, all these boilers are incineration boilers which can be fired using spent to ash, which is a byproduct of ethanol, and also bagasse. So this gives us a price of fuel on a liter at almost around 4 to 4.5 rupees a liter.
Understood, sir. Huh, got it. So the math adds up, because you would have spent a lot on the power unit also.
That is right. It's included in the capex that's already done. That's right, sir.
Correct. Because it's an expensive to move. The bagasse plants are expensive compared to the coal plants. And that's one reason why investments are not made. But of course, once the investments are made and it starts flowing, it gives you a good return.
That's right, sir.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for answering my questions.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Vibhor Tomar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is basically regarding the pledging which you have done yesterday. So was there any particular reason for that? Because I guess you are getting a very low rate of interest from the government because of the subvention scheme, around 4.5%, right?
So pledging is, pledging is basically not done for the purpose of interest rate, because initially we have been availed the bank borrowing from State Bank of India and IREDA. The consortium of banks at that moment initially decided to avail to pledge 26% of the share. That was long back, I'm telling you, in 2023. Now, as a listing for getting the company listed and as listing compliant, those shares were de-pledged. So we have released the pledge, and then again we have and we were given 45 days timeline to again replace the share once listing is done. So because we were nearing the 45 days timeline, we have again replaced those shares to the bank as a part of the compliance. Nothing related to the rate of interest, because for the rate of interest fund, its pledge is only a security. For rate of interest fund, it is more like our rating which matters.
Okay. And this earlier this pledging was done because of what reason, like before getting the funding from the banks?
Because we're getting the funding from the banks. So again, we have in between we have released the pledge, and again we have replaced the same shares. Nothing new shares are replaced. It is the existing shares are replaced only as the bank compliance sanction terms.
Okay, got it. And sir, any guidance with respect to Q3 and Q4?
I'll take this one. So in terms of Q3 and Q4, we should be able to operate the capacities at somewhere around 80 to 85% above our installed capacities. And we should see a similar trend in terms of, or rather a little improved trends in terms of the bottom line. The improved bottom line compared to the earlier year would mostly be because of the cheaper availability of maize prices in this quarter, in the quarters to come, that is Q3 and in the next quarter. Also because we have got enough working capital to procure molasses at a cheaper price. So this should give us a potential to have, if not similar, something better.
Okay. And can I also get your current order book from the OMCs for particularly for the ethanol business?
Sorry?
Order book or OMCs?
Yes, sir. So we just covered that earlier. Just to re-emphasize, we have close to 47 crore liters targeted to be supplied in the next ethanol supply year. 47 crore liters.
Okay. So that next year would be like until March 26 or?
No, sir. That would be between November to October of 2025-26. Starting November 1st to October end.
Okay, okay. So, okay. So, got it. Understood. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's all.
So, were I to break it down, the Q3 and Q4, we should do somewhere about 26 to 28 crore liters.
Okay. Got it. Understood. I think, yeah, because that's it's not seasonal anymore and it's kind of a round-the-year operations which you'll be having now onwards.
That's correct, sir.
Yeah. Oh, got it. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes on the line of Piyush Bangar with Vijit Global Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity. First of all, I have three questions related to each segment, ethanol, CBG, and SAF, regarding the revenue contribution and trajectory. So the first question is, income, ethanol income saw a 28% YOY decline due to commissioning pauses. What production run rate do we expect in Q3 and Q4 FY26?
Q3 and Q4 will be contributing around 22 crores. So in terms of a production liter, kiloliter, that will be the minimum we are looking. But the numbers in terms of rupees will be much better than what have been into the previous Q3 and Q4.
Okay. Next, the second is from the CBG vertical. As we have reported, 65% YOY growth. Could you please provide the revenue trajectory for FY27 when the all three new Sumitomoto backed units come online?
Sir, I cannot do that, but just to make you understand and give you the brief framework, my numbers present is for each of the plant with my capacities available with you. And 16, 17 such more plants is expected down the line after 9 to 12 months of time when the COD will be complete. I will request you to do the working because I am not supposed to give the brief numbers.
PUC, just a thing on that is the current numbers you see is pertaining to 10.2 TPD capacity that we have established. And we plan to set up or commission 4 plants of 80 TPD each. So, which should be done by July or August of July of 2026.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. The next question is, when do you expect the commercial production of and the revenue contribution from the SAF, Sustainable Aviation Fuel segment, to comment?
So, we have now engaged into a technology transfer agreement with leading technology provider called Honeywell UOP, which is one of the largest refiners in the world. With them beginning the discussion, I mean the design and engineering work, it should take them somewhere about 18 odd months to complete the detailed engineering and manufacturing of key equipment, and another 8 to 10 months to complete the erection of it. So we are projecting somewhere between August or September of 2027 to have the plant commissioned. So revenue should start by FY28.
31st March 28 will be the first financials what told UK is visible from the SAF vertical.
Okay, perfect. The next thing is coming back to the ethanol segment. What percentage of our ethanol sales under the long-term supply agreements with ONC? And what are our plans for the price renegotiations post E20 policy expansion?
So I will be honest with you here. We created this dual feed integration only because of the government's policy dilly-dally.
when we began our company in 23-24, they came out with a rule saying syrup and BAB molasses should not be used. They banned that use of product. So we shifted our focus to dual feed integration. Now after the dual feed integration, there seems to be we were expecting an increase in the blending from 20% to 27%, which we hope it should be done in a few months from now, considering the availability of ethanol in the market and the savings that Government of India is achieving through the blending of ethanol. That said, it should increase our arrangement of supply to blending with the OMC. Even considering there could be some concerns in the increase of the blending targets, company is focusing on making value addition to the ethanol that we have. One is through the SAF plant, other is through, we just spoke about the Visolis discussion that Arnab Bhattacharya ji questioned. We have an MOU with Visolis to make MBL, that could be another big potential. And also we have got retail outlets to support the flex fuel vehicle transition that is going to happen in the days to come. Flex fuel vehicles are a reality in Brazil since 2002. They have been a reality in America. They have been a reality in most of the developed countries. So our retail network can also consume a lot of additional ethanol when the flex fuel vehicles start coming, hitting the road. So, a complicated answer to your simple question would be, we are not depending on one course for our supply of ethanol. We are exploring multiple avenues, and we have already mutated to consuming different kinds of ethanol in different kinds of verticals.
That's really amazing. Thank you very much for that. Coming as you have initiated the retail fuel thing, I'd just like to know that are you planning any kind of strategic partnership or franchisee model to accelerate the rollout of our retail fuel network beyond Karnataka?
Yes, sir. So the company has a policy to not invest any capital in the fuel retail network. We have, as a company, taken a decision to only roll out these franchisee network, to set up these outlets in a franchisee network itself. Happy to share that we have already set up 7 retail outlets in a record time of almost 3 months. And we are setting up another 6 outlets, taking a total count to 30. And we sort of have shortlisted identified an additional 60-odd locations, taking the total count to almost about 73. Just to highlight the challenges involved in the fuel retail network, getting the franchise is not the concern, but getting the approvals, the licenses, the clarity on the land, because it requires somewhere about 20,000 square feet of land to some at places up to 1 acre of land, and some places in the cities up from between 5 to 8,000 or 10,000 square feet of land. So getting the titles cleared, getting the land approvals done, because in India, land is not owned by one person. 4 or 5 members in a family own a small piece of land. Sometimes getting the approval between 2 brothers or 2 families, it takes a lot of time. That said, why I emphasize the challenges involved and also the licenses. There are close to 38 odd departments that we need to get licensed for each of these franchisee outlets. Just wanted to highlight you these challenges because what we could achieve in the 7 plus, what we will be achieving in the first 6 outlets, from the date of getting approval to now, it's hardly been about 6.5 to 7 months. It probably is one of the fastest rollout.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that. Just my last question, that the MOU we have signed with Andhra Pradesh government, of 2,200 crores, what will be the funding mix, like equity and debt, and what will be the project IRR expectation?
So, I will take that, and probably our CFO also wants to top it up later, is the current price that we have estimated, 2,250 crores, is a preliminary cost estimate. We are hopeful that the price could probably come within that range itself. By that I mean the price could be lower than the price that we have estimated. And the financing portion of it, we have currently thought that we will bring a 30-70 debt to equity, and we will have large strategic partners to partner with this on this investment. However, the financing model from 30-70 debt to equity could change and we could have a different and a innovative financing model also in the days to come.
Okay, and what will be the IRR expectation from this project?
So assuming that my plant runs at the capacity of 85 to 90% capacity utilization at 310 KLPD, IRR will be close to factoring on the subsidy and capital consumption. It will be around 3.5 to 4 years. Sorry, break even will be 3.5 to 4 years. IRR will be close to 19%.
19%. Perfect. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I really wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Pratham Modi with HPMG Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Pratham sir, if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, you are. Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, what IRR do you expect from the upcoming CBG plant, and what would be the stable state revenue and PAT margin profile once this scale up?
So, on the CBG, on the control basis, when my plant will commence, assuming that my all 16 plants are coming out, my EBITDA margin will be which will be around 60 to 65% minimum.
If you could give a guidance of 40 to 45%, but we are achieving greater than that.
Greater than that, because we have one of our plant was already in that line. Though last year we were at the 45%, but presently we are at the same. So we expect the once it reaches to the same capacity, 55 to 60% will not be a challenge for the company. You know, repeat the second part of the question, IRR.
Yes, sir. IRR and PAT margin once they scale up.
Yeah. So once this is scale up, my PAT margin will be standing somewhere around, which if you now see in my the current balance sheet also, it will be around 35% minimum, which is presently at the 25% we have assumed, but it is going. So I can say that PAT margin will be nothing less than 30% will be the PAT margin. And in terms of IRR also, it will be around 21 to 22% will be around the PAT margin. IRR.
Okay, sir. That's great. And my last question is, with rising industry capacity, do you foresee any risk of lower government procurement prices, and how would that impact your margin stability?
Pratham, so you're speaking on which sector, ethanol or CBG?
Ethanol.
Yeah. As we were speaking earlier, we are already seeing a huge, distress in the procurement policy of government, because currently there is a supply of close to 1800 crore liters of ethanol and the demand of close to 1250 crore liters of ethanol, cross demand. So there is already an oversupply. Now, that oversupply was supposed, I mean, the blending target from 20% should have become 27%. For whatever reasons that blending has not increased for this current ethanol supply year, I'm sure you would have seen the narrative that was run on the engines and X and Y and Z, which never happened in any of the developed countries overseas. That only was happening in India. But of course, the government and everybody realizes those were narratives. Now we are expecting the blending target to keep improving. That said, even if it doesn't happen, I was covering on the earlier question that we are looking at lucrative and innovative ideas to not be dependent on the government and not be dependent on one place for sale of the product that we make.
Okay, sir. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Deepak Poddar with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just a few data points. I think you have mentioned I missed those numbers. So what was the liters of ethanol volume in FY25 last year?
In FY25 supply year last year, sir, we had a volume of 40, in the last financial year, we had supplied close to 26 crore 51 lakh liters. That gave me a revenue of close to 1,941 crores consolidated.
Okay, 26 crores.
If I were to say, yes, 26 crores. Yes, 26 crores, 57 lakh liters to be precise, gave me a volume. I mean, a revenue of 1,940 crores.
Okay, understood. And this first half, what was the volume?
This first half we've done a volume of close to 9 crore liters.
9 crore liter. And what is our volume target for this entire?
Sorry, my apologies. We have done a volume of 5.7 crore liters. My apologies.
For the first half of FY26.
That is right.
And you have quarterly, and first quarter how much was it, and second quarter?
We do have that number, sir. First quarter we did a revenue of. One second. We could take a next question until then. I'll come back with the number.
And what is our entire year, this year, FY26 volume target?
Volume target will be, we had taken an earlier target of 41 crore liters. Now, we are expecting to do a total volume of close to 37 crore liters, 36 to 37 crore liters.
36 to 37 crore liter. And so since first half you have already done 5.7, so second half ideally we might want to target 31, 32, right?
That is correct.
And generally in the ethanol, what's the margin profile that we generally see?
So let's say it depends from plant to plant, because we are one of a unique case where we have an integration also, and we have got ample connectivity on raw materials and access to appropriate working capital limit. We should see a trend of around 15-16% on EBITDA.
15-16% on EBITDA. And what's the current ethanol realization?
So the realization, I mean, it's different on each feedstock. From syrup, it's 65.61 rupees. From maize, it's 71.86 rupees. Then from rice, it's about 64 rupees. They're different prices, sir. So we could average it out to somewhere about 67 rupees a liter. But it would not be a fair, straightforward average. On a, just for ease of calculation, you could take it around 67.
Understood. I got that. And that quarterly figure you got?
303.89 crore was the Q1.
3.3 crore.
How much? 3.?
3.03. So you are asking for the Q1 sales number?
For the production number quantity.
Yes, we are right.
Yes. And just one more thing. I mean, currently our majority of the revenue is coming from ethanol only, but we are going into CBG in a bigger way. And
2.3. Second is 2.3. So Q1 was 3.3 crore liters,
mm-hmm.
And Q2 was 2.4 crore liters, somewhere around that number.
2.4. Okay, understood.
Yes. Again to emphasize, it was purely because we have intentionally shut down three out of the four operating plants. Yes.
Fair point. And just one last question. Now we are going into CVG, even in SAF. So how should you see your revenue mix over the next 3 to 5 years? Currently majority comes from ethanol only.
Currently
3 to 5 years would be a far off visibility, sir. But we can say that the next financial year, again, ethanol would be the king in revenue table. We will have somewhere about 70-odd percent gross coming from the ethanol itself, mm-hmm. and somewhere about 20-odd percent to 25-odd percent coming from CBG, around 400.
And there will be some contribution?
No, sorry, 85 and 15, somewhere about that.
85 would be from ethanol and 15 from CBG?
That's right, that's right.
So your margin profile next year should ideally improve, right? Because CBG has a much better margin.
Typically should, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that that's very helpful, sir. I mean, that would be it from my side. All the way best to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Kumar Murugesh Nirani for closing comments.
Thank you so much for this. To all the investors that have trusted us and, you know, have taken a call to be co-owners in True World Bioenergy, which is a very young and one-of-its-kind company, having visibility and having focus in one of what is the most important subject in today's era, sustainability and energy. So we are bringing sustainability and we're bringing energy together, and we're trying to create value for one of the weakest sections in the society, that is to the farmers. So whatever we do is, and also creating an impact in the call of Make in India, we are substituting a lot of imports of fossil, we are substituting a lot of emissions from fossil consumption. All said, this was our first conference call. I hope it went to the satisfaction of your liking. This is the first public company that we are running. We will continue to take inputs from our co-owners, and we'll continue to take course correction from you in the days to come. Thank you so much for connecting.
Thank you. On behalf of Throughalt Bioenergy Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.